This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening or good morning, whenever you're listening to this, and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, the Sunday Night Live. Yesterday, the Lions had a very successful day, not just with our result, but also results elsewhere. However, we interrupt this live broadcast with a special guest. You may have seen on the Twitter that we have a guest appearing on the show today. So without further ado, with an update from Turkey.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Sunday Night Live show after Cardiff. This one is, and a great victory. The reason you are seeing me is that I need to...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Disperse a few myths going around. I am in Turkey with the family for 2 weeks relaxation and just basically recharging, really. And it's been absolutely fantastic. The hotel I'm staying at is second to none. It's great. Temperature's been fantastic. Today's been 29. And as anyone who goes to Turkey knows, if you want some fakes, some moody gear, as they say back in southeast London, mate, there is lots of it to choose from. Let's put it that way. And all different variations in prices and good quality, allegedly. But still, look, I'm in Turkey, no hair job, no plastic surgery that some of you have said to Stephen that I'm having. Still got the wrinkles, no Botox, and no teeth done. But still, don't worry. Next Friday, I am back and hosting the live show. So, either you're going to look forward to that, or it's going to upset some of you. But I am back and happy to say that I think the guys doing the shows have done a fantastic job, and it's all great. And listen, I'll leave you now with the host, Stephen, who's joined by the Red Bull King, the one and only Jay, and obviously our Northern correspondent, Ben. Even though I'm not there, I don't think Omar's there. So Omar does a show when he wants. Anyway, peace, love, and I will see you all next Friday. Enjoy the show, and make sure, subscribe, and press that like button. Go on, do it now. Do it.
As you can see, Mickey is well, he's healthy, he's having a great time in Turkey. He hasn't had any plastic surgery or the hair job or anything like that. just to for the conspiracy theories.
Sorry. He hasn't shown his bottom half.
Listen, I love Mickey. He's a great guy. I'm not going to ask him to prove anything that's below the waist. That's what he does is entirely up to him. But anyway, moving on, as Mickey said, we've got Jay and Ben with us this evening. Guys, Ben, I will start with you. Last week we were at Huddersfield. It was the end of the world. We were getting relegated. We were, it was throwing our toys out the pram a little bit. This week's a little bit different, mate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Dan and I did the Friday show and we just said, look, what a difference a game makes. But now it's just what a difference a week makes. Didn't see, obviously, the result against Leicester come in. Far more confident with yesterday's game, I think. Not even just after the result against Leicester, but you kind of hope that Cardiff may have been in holiday mode, nothing to play for. But yeah, what a difference a week makes. And now I'm sure we'll go into it in a lot more detail later. I think barring, I don't say a miracle, because stranger things have happened, but barring a monumental slip up from us and a ridiculous comeback from Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield, I would say we're safe.
Absolutely. And Jay, we obviously were doing the show. We did the live last week and it was a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a little bit of a depressing Sunday. You kind of didn't really see this turnaround. We all went into the Leicester game expecting, a little bit of a thumping. But Neil Harris certainly knows how to get a response from the players at the Den, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And look, credit where it's due, because, you know, it was, like you say, it was all doom and gloom on the Sunday night, you know, after a real bad week in Yorkshire. It wasn't looking very good at all. You know, teams around us were winning and we looked like we had major problems. We couldn't score goals, we couldn't keep them out, and we looked all over the place. But Harris demanded a response and the players give him that, and the fans are fed off that now. And after a great week at home, this morning, set of two well-deserved wins as well. We was good for them wins. Things look like, as Ben just said, things look really rosy now. So credit to Harris, credit to the players, some of which that we've, you know, slandered a little bit, you know, the likes of Longman and so on. But no, they've proved us wrong. And we're here to eat crow as much as we are here to discredit us. So, yeah, I'm quite happy to do that this week.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good starting point. Just to last week, Dan had, not last week, in one of the shows during the week, Dan Sexton had a little bit of apology to Ryan Longman. I'm not going to go full apology, but I think, certainly last week we probably overreacted a little bit on here, a bit of a head loss, and
I don't want to play any part of that, by the way, because I've always defended Longman and said he gets far too much abuse, so I'm just saying I'm not in that camp and I've never been. Just camping right. That,
yeah, just throw us under the bus even more, mate. Cheers.
I'm happy to do that.
But no, the players, as you said, Jay, the players have been excellent this week. They've been playing for the manager, they've been playing for the supporters, they've been playing for each other. So you can't really ask for too much more. We'll go straight into it. Obviously, one change from the team that played against Leicester, probably enforced with Honeyman being injured. And for me, it was right that SA got the start after his second half performance midweek. However, it was a little bit of a tough stroke, frustrating first half for the young winger. Attacker, shall we say. Jay, probably didn't really see the best from Romain Essay, did we?
No, we didn't. But look, you know, you've got to be patient with a lad. You know, he's 18 years old. He hasn't played much football. And he come on and changed the game at Leicester. I thought he really did. You know, he stretched them a little bit. I was really impressed with his defensive play. I just thought against Cardiff, where they sort of had, we was on the front foot a little bit more. I just felt like the game bypassed him a little bit. And Harris made the right call. He took a little knock as well, which is why I thought he originally was taken off at half time. But Harris come out and said it was a tactical switch, and albeit the right one. So I know SA come out on Twitter, on the socials after, and said, look, great win today. So he was obviously happy. And he got 45 minutes under his belt. And Harris is realising that some of these young players, they can offer us something. And SA did that.
Absolutely. And whilst he did struggle, Ben, I know obviously you've obviously watched back from the highlights and maybe not the full game, but he did have a hand in the goal, you know, across into the box. Obviously, the assist will go to Ryan Longman because he flicked it onto Cooper, but he was still involved in the goal. That will obviously give him a little bit of confidence that whilst he won't get the assist, it is something for him to build on.
Yeah, I think the goal that probably sums him up and where he's at, right, is a young lad. If you fast forward before the goal, his decision to have a shot on the edge of the box when we've loaded the box and we've only got one player back is actually the wrong one. And that probably, look, he's a young lad. It comes out to him. He should probably just get it back into the box or roll it off to Billy Mitchell. They could nearly break from that. It's actually nearly a 3-on-1. Billy does get back to make it nearly a 3-on-2. Obviously, then it goes back out to him and then he puts a good ball in the box and we obviously score. So that's probably exactly where we're at with SA. You're getting your two sides there of he's affected the game where you want him to up the pitch, but he's made the wrong decision before that, which could lead to the Cardiff breaking, potentially putting us under pressure. So I think, look, yeah, he's a young lad. He's going to make mistakes. The Championship's a hard league. I think we all say that it's probably that comment there is horses for courses. It's just picking the right games for him, making sure he's affecting it high up the pitch. We know he's not going to be doing the work that maybe the Watmores are going to be doing. That's why the change comes on. I'll take my headset out in a minute because I thought it might be like that. I think they say that the goal was just perfectly summarised where we're at with him. He made the mistake, but there was a good ball back in the box. And now I'm going to take my headphones out.
Absolutely. Well, it's not the International Space Station. That's what happens when you live in the north of England. You know, the internet up there is a bit ropey. So, and he can't hear me. So it's great. Obviously, I don't want to spend too much time on SA because I thought he was excellent against Leicester, proved his worth. If you haven't watched Chat with Chaps, Chris, who recorded after the game yesterday, said that he wasn't one that was on the hype train with SA. I am, I must admit. But he didn't have one of his better games yesterday. But his importance to the squad, I think, will show in certain games like the Leicester game. And there will be other opportunities for him. On the game itself, we started quite well. I think we got on the front foot, scored a really good early goal. And it looked like, Ben, I'll come back to you if you're ready to go with your headset, that Michael Obafemi was very, very delighted to score against Cardiff. They were giving him a bit of jip just before and it soon went a little bit quiet.
Yeah, look, it was a great finish. Just firstly, is that better? Do I sound like I'm in the bath or in a satellite station? Perfect. it was a great finish. Obviously, it was a bit of a scrappy build-up. It was actually a fairly decent ball from Fleming. I think he was quite clever in what he did. He probably anticipated that Obafemi was going to have that pace on the defender. So I actually think it was quite a clever little ball. I was waiting for some sort of northern comment.
It
was quite a clever little ball. And then he was quick, strong, athletic, everything that we've missed in a centre-forward. And it's a great finish. It really is. I watched Chaps' post-match back and he said, could the keeper have got there being at the near post? I mean, he's hit it so hard and so sweetly. I don't think you could blame the keeper at all. It's just a really good finish. And as you say, I'm sure he was pretty delighted to stick it up Cardiff and score against them. I thought he just, again, just watching from the highlights, he looked like he had a really strong game. Again, the effort in the second half, the keeper made a really good save from. So, yeah, look, yeah, great, great finish, great goal before anyone even... Before anyone even mentions it, we were absolutely no chance of keeping him.
No, that's something we'll come on to a little bit later on in the show. But Jay, I thought after we scored, it kind of felt like we got nervy. We felt a little bit flat and just allowed Cardiff to come back into the game. Really, really poor free kick to give away. I know Sav is in the team to break up play, but I think there was a stat I saw before the game that Cardiff had scored the most goals from set pieces prior to yesterday. So there probably wasn't any real surprise that we gave them a dangerous free kick and they scored from it.
No, that's exactly that. And that just shows a bit of naivety in the camp that, you know, when we do go 1-0 up, we're still not that finished product. We understand that. The nerves are there because, you know, it's a nervous time for us at the moment. We're fighting to stay up and getting the goal as early as we did. And being on the front foot as early as we was, I think may have surprised the players as well as it surprised us because it was such a good start. But, you know, the lads did really well because yet again we was pegged back and we went at it, and Harris made some changes at halftime, a different tactical approach, and we went wide and we went fast and we took the game to Cardiff, and we was the much better team that second half. The Cardiff didn't really trouble us too much. We limited them in their on the ball play. But our off the ball work is second to none in this division. And it's second to none in this division. And Harris has got us really playing well off the ball. If we could just fine tune the situations when we're on the ball, I think we'll be a much better team. But, you know, Obafemi was brilliant. His relationship with Fleming seems to be blossoming. Would have liked to that month or two ago. But no, there isn't really many negatives. I know Ben's got a negative he wants to touch on in a little bit with a player, but it's been a really good week, and it was a very good performance. And we scored three goals. When was the last time we scored three goals in a game? You know, back at Sheffield Wednesday when Edwards took over. So no, really pleasing all round.
Absolutely. And on the subject, obviously on Cardiff's goal, and I'll come to you, Ben, because I know you something to say on this, and I know I'm going to agree with what you're going to say. This comment from Joseph: Sarkic is not ready as a number one goalkeeper. Now, I like Sarkic. I think he's a good goalkeeper. I don't think he's a top championship goalkeeper. However, he should have saved their goal yesterday. I sit right behind the goal, block 10. So overlooking it, and the Cardiff fans didn't even realise it had gone in, because they just assumed that it was a delayed reaction for them celebrating because Sarkic kind of pushed it into the side netting. I think there could be a decent goalkeeper in there, but he still has a mistake in him. But thankfully, it didn't cost us yesterday, Ben.
Yeah, and to sum it up perfectly there, mate. He should have saved it. Don't want to be negative on the lad because he has got a bit of a beating this year, but there's still question marks out for me. He went through a good patch a few weeks back. He then looked, I'm still not having his distribution at all. I can't. It's just not very good. It's not Bart bad, but it's bad. He's got to save it. It's just, there's too many. I do agree with Dave there. He did misjudge it, but he can't misjudge it. He's a keeper, and it's not. I watched it back a few times, and I thought, oh, because it was kind of right on the edge of the 6-yard box, right? And when it first came in, it looked like it was a bit further away, and they showed the replay, it looked like it was a bit closer. So I was trying to give him a bit of the benefit of the doubt, but that first line there, as Baz says, it is just, he makes too many mistakes for me. And whilst you say it didn't cost us yesterday, it did let him get back in the game. And it did make us nervy. You could tell on the highlights that the crowd then went a bit quiet and it just went a bit edgy in the ground. And I'm just not confident with him. And that's if we're not confident as fans, you can imagine what the back four are like, or the back eight, if I'm including the midfield, whatever. But yeah, there's just question marks for me there. And again, I don't want to keep comparing him to Gordon Banks, but if you compared him to Johansson from Rotherham, like that, he looks like a man in goal. He looked like a man mounting. I know he had a great game against us. He's probably had some shockers as well. We haven't seen him all year. But, I mean, look, if that was the case, I'd be going to get him. There's just question marks for me. I'm not confident with Sarkic.
Without jumping the gun, that quoted figure of 750,000 is actually a relegation clause. So if Rotherham are relegated, that's what he's going to go for. Sheffield United were sniffing. Coventry have been sniffing as well. But yeah. I agree, the difference between the goalkeepers. As I say, I'm not going to jump too much on Sarkic. I do think he's made some good saves. And I do think that there's room for improvement, though. I think that's probably the best way to kind of summarise him and the kind of season that he's had. The rest of the first half, we were, in my opinion, and I don't know what you guys in the chat think, and Jay, I'll come back to you. I thought we were really poor for about 20 minutes. Nothing happened. We couldn't keep hold of the ball. There's figures, SA gave the ball away a few times. Mitchell, Saville, Fleming. It just, nothing seemed to really click for us. But right at the end of the half, Captain Fantastic, who I did quote on the just after, I will say, as that would score a goal. Just before we come to the goal, Omar has had a few quid on Jake Cooper over the course of the season, and obviously hasn't won anything off it. It's unconfirmed if he had a few quid on him this week, but I know Chaps did. I did as well. So I was delighted with our second goal. But good work from SA down the right-hand side, flick on from Longman, and Coops with a left-footed volley. What more can you want?
Oh, it's really well-worked goal. You know, we piled the pressure on and we come up trance, and it was good from Longman in the centre of the area as well to get that little flick on, and Juicy Jake's at the back post. It's a great finish from Cooper because it comes to him as he's leaning back, as to say, and, you know, but it's on his good foot and he manages to tuck it into the top of the net, and you can see his reaction, how much it meant to him. You know, he's been wanting to get on one for a while now, and it's unusual that it hasn't come from a header. It's come from him planting one into the top of the net with his left peg. But look, he'll take that. We'll take that. And you're right in what you're saying. At that point in the game, there wasn't really much falling for us. You know, we looked like this could spiral a little bit. There were some misplaced passes. There were some attacks from Cardiff, and we looked a little bit edgy. But the goal settled us down. It would have changed Neil's team talk at half-time. And he made the right calls with taking SA off and changed it up. And then from there on out, from the goal, we was the better team for the rest of the game, in my opinion. So, yeah, it was perfectly timed, should we say, because we haven't got crystal ball. We don't know what would have happened if we went in at 1-1, but glad we didn't.
Absolutely. And on the... 3JRS MFC, nice to see a little bit more upbeat. It was like a funeral wake last Sunday. Yeah, it was. We
it's because I'm here.
Our heads lost, and yeah, Ben obviously brightens up the show. He's the ray of sunshine. Jamie Redknapp and what was the other, Luis Suarez over there.
I'm definitely going. Thanks, Sam, for sticking up to me there. I'm definitely going with the Jamie Redknapp shout.
Second half, obviously, as you said, SA was taken off for Duncan Watmore, in my opinion, the right sub. Obviously, again, you know, we've seen the second half how it played out, but at halftime, it probably was the right thing to do tactically. But I must admit, apart from that effort from distance that Cardiff, when Sarkic got down quite well, I thought, I didn't feel like Cardiff were ever going to score a goal, personally. And that doesn't happen very often as a Millwall fan. You're always on the edge of your seat thinking, we're going to sit deep. And I've seen a few comments in the chat about whether or not Harris long-term next season. We will come on to that at the end of the show. However, if we had Gary Rowett in charge yesterday at 2-1, we would have sat back and we would have allowed Cardiff to have the ball. That was his mantra. That was his style of football. That's what we were going to do. Ben, I'll come to you. Whilst, again, we'll save the topic of Harris's future, it was nice to see, again, and I watched the highlights back in the second half. At 2-1, it's usually the other team having chances. But this time, it was Obafemi having a chance, Fleming having a chance. I think Ben looks like Jason Manford.
This is spiraling into the lookalike show for Ben now. It was me and Stephen the other week. Now, you chat are ruthless, I'm telling you. It only takes one little thing. And you lot are on it.
I will repeat for Ben. It was nice, wasn't it, Ben, that the highlights were us having chances and not the opposition like what we've seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, just from the highlights you watch, you can always tell because how many shots I think they only had two on the highlights, and they one was the goal. Oh dear, killing me. I was reading what's coming through now. I'm not gonna laugh, completely look like
Mario's mate.
Oh god. Jesus, completely lost my train of thought. But yeah, it was nice, mate, to be on the front foot and us be creating most of the chances. As I say, there's got to be... I'll take that one as well. Mikhail Arteta, yeah, I'll take that.
That's an outstanding shout. That's a great shout.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm just reading the comments now. Stop putting them up.
For the benefit of people listening on a podcast, the Lion Blue... don't worry, Ben. Uncle Fester's getting it on Friday. For those of you that you may have missed the start of the show, or you're not watching it live, or you're not watching it on YouTube, Mickey is back on Friday. He will be in the hot seat, and should we say he's going to be causing havoc? But he will be back very, very shortly. And Ben, All of yours are actually quite nice lookalikes. Me and Jay got absolutely ruined when this.
Look at this one.
James Corden, Will from the Inbetweeners, and Jason Manford. I feel there's some editing coming. There's some editing coming on this.
It's nice to be on the front foot in answer to your question. We got there in the end.
Excellent. Right. Jay.
Yes.
Duncan Watmore. Why in God's earth did that man take his shirt off and run around the den with the palest body? I don't tan at all. I mean, that would be basically what I would look like, minus the ginger hair. But that was I love the goal. It settled the nerves, but Christ, what was he doing?
I don't know. He would make an albino look bronzed, wouldn't he? Let's be honest. Like, he's the palest man I've ever seen. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out next week from severe sunburn. But look, you could just see like that was a pivotal point in the game. Do you know what I mean? We felt like we did need another. I thought we was in control, but when we got it, you could just see the elation on his face. I actually think he's played pretty well in recent games under us. You know, he's got a couple of goals in a couple of weeks as well. And yeah, look, he's elated. I'm happy for him to celebrate like that. You know, I don't mind it because look, we've won the game and the players are happy and there's a good atmosphere. He created a good atmosphere, but I don't want to see that again. but yeah, if it means we're winning games, then yeah, I'm happy. But no, please for him because he works hard, Duncan Watmore. It doesn't always pay off because he is a bit of a one-trick pony. But it was a good sub and it showed the intent for Maris that he wants to drive at Cardiff, wants to get after him, and it paid off. So yeah, very happy. Yeah, transparent. Yeah, he was.
Just a question on Watmore, Stephen. Is he under contract next year or is he out of contract?
I think he is.
I think he signed. It was a 2.5 year deal because he came in January, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that would take him to
January. I think he's got till.
I think they extended it so he's at the end of next season. Oh. So he got the half from January to the end of last season, and then two full seasons with us.
Yeah, we're definitely not in danger of losing him in the summer.
Absolutely. We will come on to Sunderland. Joseph, I will star that and we'll come back to it. With the result yesterday, I think Harris, the fans, all of us lot in the chat, we've said it so many times that the important thing for us is to just take care of your own results. If you go and win your own game, don't matter what anyone else does because they can't catch you because we've already got the lead. However, whilst leaving the ground, a 100th minute penalty at Bristol City for Bristol City against Huddersfield, which, if you haven't seen it, questionable. Female ref. I'm not going to get into that, but she's been absolutely hammered on social media this afternoon.
Not surprised.
Just was the cherry on top of the cake, really, wasn't it? To see Huddersfield go from having another 3 points to a draw. Pretty, I think, if I'm right, we were the only side that played yesterday at the 3 o'clock. Obviously, I know Blackburn won earlier on, that played at 3 o'clock, that won at the bottom of the league. So it was a perfect day all round for us, really.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think now you look at it, we'll be 6 points clear, so they need to get 7 from 3 games. You look at Sheffield Wednesday's fixtures, they've got Blackburn away, West Brom at home, Sunderland away. That's tough. I can't see them getting 7 points from that. Huddersfield, Swansea at home, Birmingham at home, Ipswich away. Again, I can't see them getting 7 points from that. So, yeah, we've been lucky that we still had it in our hands, but it was very much a case of, I felt if we won Saturday, it didn't matter what everyone else did because it's just another game chalked off and say now they need 7 points. I know they've dropped points to make it 7, but yeah, it just felt like if we won yesterday, we would have been safe. And I still think that. I think a point will do it. We'll just that'll be us 100%. I think we're 95% the way there. I think a point now will do it, personally.
Absolutely. On that point there, John, another good crowd, biggest average crowd since 1952. I must admit, And my dad, who I know is listening to this, you know, he always looks up the attendances and tries to work out the averages and stuff like that. It's just something he's always done. And I'm very, very surprised at that fact because we've been so poor this year at home. But the fans have still come. They've still supported the team. They've still been trying to get behind them. Obviously, under Harris, things have significantly improved, which, again, we will come on to. But the fans have stuck with him this year, and it has been quite surprising. I know this was a couple of games where, Sheffield Wednesday, it was a bit toxic, and Ipswich as well. But all in all, the fans are sticking with them. And I think whilst, in fact, we'll do this now, we'll move on to Neil Harris. Harris's conference after the game, Jay, I don't know if you've heard it, but a quote that stuck with me was that if he goes to the shop by the training ground, if he's entering the ground, if he's walking in town, wherever he goes, he gets told that the players can't play at the Den and they haven't got the bottle. I think whatever anyone thinks about Neil Harris, this is Neil Harris's Den and that's the end of it.
Yeah, 100%. I'll put it out on socials this morning that, look, we'd, under Gary Rowett and Joe Edwards this season, we'd won 4 games at home total. Harris has come in and he hasn't lost a game at home. You know, Harris has set records at home when he was last in charge. We went 17 games unbeaten. I think we went 12 games without conceding at home as well. You know, Neil Harris and the Den is a special relationship. And it brings the fans in because Neil Harris knows what the fans want. He knows how to get the best out of the fans and he creates this mixture in this cauldron that is the Den that seems to breed results. And it's, and it's, you know, and it works. It really does. Cause you see him on the sideline, he's leading from the front. And when you see that the fans, they G up, they get it, they get involved. And we're a good crowd when the Den's rocking, there's no place like it. And Harris harnesses that. And it's, it's been pleasing. But, yeah, if there's one thing for sure, you know, his football might not be pretty and it might not wow you, but there's one thing for certain is that Neil Harris won't lose games or many games at the Den. Manscaped.
So, again, Jay is obviously sponsored by Manscaped. To my knowledge, none of the individual panellists have a sponsor. If anyone would like to sponsor us, please get in contact. Manscaped, other providers are available, of course. But no, obviously on the point, on Jay's point there, Ben, Harris will always divide opinion. I think he's divided opinion with our group of all us lot in the chat. And, you know, we had a conversation literally about 2 hours ago about next season and what's going to go on. Ben looks like Obafemi. That is, just stop, please just stop. There's 288 of you watching at the moment. If you think that Ben looks like Michael Obafemi, hit like. If you don't think Michael Obafemi, looks like Michael Obafemi, hit like as well. Add a comment. But anyway, back to Neil Harris. He will always divide opinion. And I think over this course of the summer, it's going to be a real talking point, especially when transfers are announced. If we could just appoint him for home games only and find someone that could set us up away from home, I think that would be absolutely perfect. But Ben, I'm going to throw you right under the bus now. Guys in the comments, answer this question as well. Jay, if you can, after August the 4th or 5th or whatever it is, would you like to see Neil Harris in the dugout as Millwall manager?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, I think he deserves it. I think he was given an 18-month deal for a reason. Stop putting the comments up whilst I'm talking because I'm going to lose track and just keep looking. He deserves a chance. I do think this is the strongest squad that he would have managed. I know we're going to lose a lot in the summer. I think the summer recruitment, I know we keep going on about it and we know we're going to keep doing shows on it, is the most important summer we're going to have probably, I'm not saying our history because I can't remember, obviously a long time ago, but it's so important, I feel like, because there's going to be such a high turnover in players, not only loan players going back, we've got players out of contract. So, yeah, would I like to see him in charge? Yes, I would. I think he deserves it. Do I think he's the long-term answer? I'm still not sure on that.
No, and Jay, same question to you. 5th or 4th of August, whenever the season, I don't know when the season's going to start, would you like to see Neil Harris in charge? Now, before we come to that, we are assuming that we will get over the line. Obviously, nothing's been settled yet, but if we are a championship club, would you like to see Neil Harris in the dugout, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's earned it. at the end of the day. You know, he said when he first come over, he wouldn't come for a 3-month contract. He has to protect his future a little bit, which we understand. They gave him 18 months and he's fully earned the next year in the dugout without a shadow of a doubt. Now, whether he wants to or whether he'll get paid out is a different thing. He might want to go and hang his managerial career at Millwall up on a high, having kept us up, and therefore install his status as immortal at the Den, if he hasn't already. But yeah, look, we don't really know the full extent of Harris's management. He's changed a lot. He's been away for years, managed different clubs, and he's come in a very limited time in a different situation where he's had to just get results. Now, we might see a different expansive type of Neil Harris with, you know, we don't really know the type of manager he's turned into. So, look, he deserves it regardless of people's faults. As alluding to what Ben said, I totally agree. Look, is he the long term? I don't think so, based on obviously what we already know. I'd like to think he's changed enough where it could be a conversation. But yeah, if Neil Harris is not in the dugout next year, it for me will only be from his own doing that he decided to hang up, because I think that the club, they're not going to fire Neil Harris and they're not going to send him walking, are they? Let's be honest, if he keeps us up, which it sounds like he has, yeah, he deserves a statue outside of the ground, let alone a seat in the dugout. So, yeah.
Absolutely. There's a few comments that have come through about, yes, a lot of people are talking about Harris. I am going to skip through. Jay, if you don't mind, skip through a couple of them, like what I've missed, just so we can get them on the screen. But I'm just going to put this one up from Larry. He has an 18-month contract. This question is irrelevant. That may well be the case. And we may be putting two together and getting 47. So you could be absolutely spot on there. My only concern is that if the club, for me, if the club put in the hour of need call, which they obviously did, Harris was brought in to save us. Would Harris want to put this legacy, as Jay alluded to, would he want to put it on the line and go down the same route as what happened before? If it, in my opinion, I think he may deserve a chance at being the manager. Again, I make no, I've said this on loads of shows, I love Neil Harris. He's a hero. And if he keeps us up this season, then again, immortalised forever if he already wasn't. But you also have to try and put in it into place. Would he want to perhaps put that legacy on the line? Last time he took over, we were at the bottom of the league under Holloway. Unfortunately, he couldn't keep us up. Wasn't his fault. This time he's come in and he has now likely kept us up. So it is a different scenario. But I agree, he has an 18-month contract. He may well be here and we may well be talking rubbish and none of this matters. But I do think the story isn't just finished yet. Ben, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I was just going to just jump in and just to add, whatever happens, I think it's just clear now that he needs to be a part of the club in some way, shape or form. Whether he wants to do that, I don't know. He might want to go back in to management if after the 18 months with us or shorter that he goes and then goes on elsewhere. I say whether he wants to, I don't know. But I think it's just evident now he needs to be in the club in some sort of supporting way. So any manager that comes in knows what it means to be Millwall manager and understands us as a fans, imprints the Millwall way, if you want, on whoever comes in the club. Players, managers, obviously he's done it on both sides. So I think he needs to be in the club in some way, shape or form. As I say, whether he would like to do that, I've got no idea. Whether we even have the capacity or what role that would be in, with Aldo being director of fucking football operations, whatever he's called. But yeah, I would just, whenever that time does come and he does move on again, I would just like to see him in the club. I would like to see him stay or be involved in some way.
Can I just back off of that? Because that's really interesting what Ben just said there about installing what Harris does. Like, how long, there was a comment there, how long can we rely on Harris having to come back and do this? And I think what Ben said is absolutely spot on. Like, we need to progress Harris to have him around the club full time where people can come into the club and he can install it, like Ben just said, from the get-go, because we seem to keep going back to the Millwall way, or we've lost our way and we need to get it back. Having him there in a director of football role, for instance, would do that. you know, and there would be a form of accountability. There would be a clear direction under Harris's leadership from upstairs. So, yeah, it's a really interesting point from Ben, and I totally agree that his next step, once he leaves this post, he should not come back as manager again. You can't keep going down the same road. While it's worked out twice for us, you know, we need to start drifting ourselves away from this Millwall way that, you know, we may or may not like. We need to try and improve. We have ultimate goals to move up leagues. You know, we can't stay where we are forever. But yeah, Harris in some way or form needs to be involved in the club from a board standpoint, or at least involved in the daily running of the club for a lower level management sort of thing. But yeah, I totally agree. That's a good point.
I think we are going to move on. I'm going to talk about a couple of the individual player performances. But just finally on the Harris scene, there's loads of comments on this, guys. We're obviously going through them all. We're reading them all. There's a lot of good opinions. There's a lot of good things that, and it's a conversation that may be had over the summer. I think a transfer window is certainly something that we need to see. Some kind of plan as to what Harris is. Future, what his vision looks like for next season, that might shape us a little bit more in the sense of the direction that we're going in. But as I say, you know, from purely a footballing point of view, this season under Joe Edwards, I'm under no illusion. I don't think anyone can argue this. We were going to be relegated. That was just where the club was heading. Neil Harris has come in. That Southampton result was a bonus. Let's not kid ourselves. It really was. But outside of that, the points he's amassed, albeit the fixtures, he might have done it in different games. He's done a terrific job. And if he does start the season in charge, he deserves a little bit of a crack at it just to see, you know, what we can do moving forward.
I think Chris made a comment. I think it's almost inevitable that he starts the season with us. Whether he finishes the season, he's probably up for debate. Just because we know what it's like. We've had two bad results and everyone was getting on his back after those two results, right? So you imagine if it's a prolonged period of time next year, it might turn again. But yeah, I think he deserves the opportunity to start next year with us. I'm worried about the summer. I know we keep saying it. I am worried about the summer.
Yeah, and again, that's something I think over the course of the summer, guys, we will do our best, obviously, to bring you some content. Without football to talk about, it's really difficult to have these kind of conversations. However, we're expecting a busy summer transfer window. We'll be expecting a lot of news and bits and pieces to come up. So we'll be going through that as and when it happens and stuff like that. We're not going to get too bogged down with like transfers today or, you know, other stuff that we just don't know. We still don't know what league we're going to be in. So it's really difficult to have that conversation. Just before I do move on, Millwall Holdings, RIP, Dave Mehmet, absolutely. The club, in my opinion, made a bit of a shambles with the clap minute silence. It started as a minute silence, then it went to a clap. They didn't put something on the screen. This was on Tuesday night for those that weren't there. It wasn't yesterday. It just wasn't right. They got it completely wrong. There was no communication. But obviously, RIP, Dave Mehmet, obviously, you know, a member of the Millwall family that we've sadly lost, and thoughts with his family and friends at this time and teammates, former teammates. Bringing it back to the game yesterday, I'm gonna please one of my panelists with what I'm about to say, and I will go to him first, and that is Jay. Billy Mitchell. Me and you have very conflicting opinions on Mr. Mitchell, which is what football is about. It's about opinions, and that's what makes podcasts and things like this great. Yesterday, I thought he was our man of the match. I thought he was absolutely outstanding in the middle. His job was excellent all afternoon. I'm not saying that I'm not going to sort of turn around and go, he's the finished article. So I don't think he is. And I think there's a lot more to come from him. However, if you get that level of performance out of Billy Mitchell, there is a player in there at this level, but we have to see it more often.
Oh, 100%. And I'd argue that he's been one of the better players since Harry's come back. I thought he was fantastic Tuesday night. I thought he was absolutely flawless against Leicester. And again, the weekend, he was brilliant again. You know, he clears up. He stretches the play now. He started to move the play forward. He gets the ball. He wants to drive forward now. And which has been a big criticism in his game in times past. But he's overshadowing Saville a little bit now. He seems to be controlling that midfield while Saville takes a bit of a deeper step back and analyses it better with his brain. Billy Mitchell's the legs, and he seems to be doing all the dirty work now, as what Saville did before. But he's Billy's been absolutely brilliant. And there is a lot more to come from him. He's still in his early 20s. He's still a very young player. There is still a player that could be coached there, but he's got ability. He's got a fantastic engine, and he's proving to everybody that it is the right decision. Because if you're coming in for Casper Denore, you better perform, because not only is it your shirt on the line, it's Neil Harris's as well, because that's a massive call for Neil Harris. That was a huge call when he came in. To drop Casper for Billy Mitchell was huge, and he's just proven it, that decision to be right, every single week at the moment. And long may it continue, because he's given us food for thought for the upcoming season. Because if he was brilliant under Joe Edwards in that stretch in December, he played all them games in December that we won due to injuries, and then he went back out the side and we started to lose games again. So he's been an easy scapegoat for managers, he's been an easy scapegoat for fans, but one of the first names on the team sheet after sort of Lenny and one or two others, he's not far behind. I've been really, really, really pleased with Billy, as I am a big fan. So, yes, it's nice to have someone that I think is a good player, play really, really well.
Absolutely. And, Ben, I'm going to put this comment on. I'm going to come to you. There's method in my madness. Dave Clark, mediocre player has been exposed against better opposition. I'm assuming, Dave, that you are talking about Billy Mitchell. Now, Ben, last week at Huddersfield, if I'd have said to you that I was going to be praising Billy Mitchell this week, you'd have thought that was absolutely off my head, because he was absolutely woeful at Huddersfield. He was. And, the running the ball off the pitch, I cannot get that image out of my head. It's baffling that that happened. But I think, and there's another comment as well that I will... again, come to you with it on it, Ben. He's been great. Doesn't need to coach him to do the attacking part, though. Do you think that if George Saville stays, and again on this comment, if we have Mitchell and Saville in the midfield next season, we will struggle. If Saville stays, but he's not first choice, and we can find someone else to play in that position, does Billy Mitchell have a long-term future in the centre of midfield in the Championship for us?
100%. I'm such a Billy fan, you know that. I love him. I think he gets a really hard time. I have been a long time believer that I know we've got probably quite a few players at ice, but if he played in a better side, I think you'd see a better player. He's a really tidy footballer. Yeah, he's got to improve at the numbers side of it, but is that his game? I'd argue it's not. I think he will just become the natural progression when Sav... I do agree with Basley's comments a second ago. I don't think next year we can have Sav and Billy to go for a sustained period of time. It's been great now with Harris coming back in and what the last 13 games, because it's one big push. I don't think there's enough... I think we need someone else in there next year with a bit more creativity. But I think Billy will become the natural progression to Saville's role. That's what I think, and I hope. I would like to see someone in there that's a bit more creative next to him. And there's question marks for me if that's even Casper now. I'm not sure he's that player. I think for me, Billy will start next year, certainly with Harris being here. I'm surprised he didn't get as much game time with Joe, to be honest. I thought he'd be his sort of player, just a tidy sort of keep the ball, tick it over sort of type player that Joe would have wanted in his side. I agree with Baz. I don't know if we can have Sav and Billy in there next year.
No, I agree. And on that subject, I'm going to move on to another player. And I hadn't actually before we come on, we spoke about a couple of players that we were going to talk about, but I didn't mention this one, but it's just come to me. And guys in the chat, this is something I'd really want to get your feedback on and get involved with this as well. Zian Fleming. Now, got an assist yesterday. I thought he was okay. I think he tried. The effort and commitment was there. Obviously, he's expected to score goals and get assists. So if he doesn't, I know he got an assist, but if he doesn't score, then people are kind of like, oh, what's he doing? I don't think Zian Fleming will be a Millwall player for much longer. I think we're only going to see him. I don't think we'll see him much after this season. I think he'll go. I think they will learn from their mistakes of the past of not cashing in on him last summer. Also, previous mistakes with the likes of Jed Wallace, Steve Morris and Tim Cahill, the sorts that we haven't got decent fees for. So I don't think we're going to see too much of him. However, in that scenario, do you think that the likes of Casper Dunor, Romain Essé, George Honeyman might be able to flourish in a central attacking position? So if we were to lose Fleming, it won't necessarily be the end of the world. Am I looking at it? I know the stats will say that he scored 22 goals in two seasons for us. He's our leading goal scorer this year. So stats will say that we might struggle without him. But are we starting to see perhaps that there may be life after Zian Fleming?
Yeah, I think so. And there's an article out. I don't know if you guys in the chat have seen it, where he's kind of acknowledged that himself. You know, he wants to play at the highest level. Why wouldn't he? He's a quality player. We haven't seen the heights that he hit last year, but he's been asked to do a lot of different things this year. I still think he's played well in spells. He still leads the team in assists and goals and work rate and things like that. So, you know, he's still a key player for us. We probably, in hindsight, should have probably got rid of him when we had the chance and reinvested and bought someone like Creswell in. We could have gone and got a Lewis Travis from Blackburn, who he's ever linked with, and reinforced our depth and got some added quality. But, yeah, I don't think Fleming will be here next year. I'd like to see SA fill that role in the 10. I think he's a 10. I don't think he's a wide man. I think he's got too much ability where he sees the game better than everyone else. I think he's got such raw talent that in the 10, he'll get a lot more goals, because I don't think he's got the physicality or the raw pace to play out wide in a 4-2-3-1. So I'd like to see him in the 10, maybe with Honeyman behind. That's a lot of flair, a lot of quality, a lot of tactical awareness. But look, if you can get...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.